So, good Aouta. Joseph noted the gentle, reserved tones he had heard from outside, rather high-pitched, rather slow, but at times falling into a more impetuous measure. Make it as Pharaoh has directed, pleasing, living, fine, as my father above would have it. There are still errors in your work, not mistakes of technique, for you are very capable, but mistakes of spirit. My majesty has shown them to you, and you will correct them. You have done my sister, sweet Princess Bakhetaton, too much in the dead old style, contrary to the father whose will I know. Make her sweet and easy. Make her according to the truth, which is the light, and in which Pharaoh lives, for he has set it in his inmost heart. Let one hand be putting to her mouth a piece of fruit, a pomegranate, and her other hand be hanging down easily, not with the palm turned stiffly to the body, but the rounded palm turned backwards. Thus will the God have it that is in my heart, and whom I know as no other knows him, because I have come of him. Your servant, answered Aouta, wrapping the clay figure with one hand while he raised the other arm towards Pharaoh, will make it exactly as Pharaoh commands, and has instructed me, to my great joy, who is the only one of Re, the beauteous child of Aton. Thank you, Aouta, my warm and loving thanks to you. It is important, you understand, for as the Father is in me and I in him, so shall all become one in us. That is the goal. But your work, conceived in the right spirit, can perhaps contribute a little to all becoming one in him and me. And you, good Beck? Remember, Aouta, the deep, almost masculine voice of the goddess widow made itself heard at this juncture from her high seat, always remember that it is hard for Pharaoh to make us understand him, and that he probably says more than he means in order that our understanding may follow him. What he means is not that you are to show the sweet Princess Bakhetaton as eating, as biting into the fruit. Rather, you should only put the pomegranate into her hand and make her slightly lift her arm so that one may assume she will probably put the fruit to her mouth. That will be enough of the new, and is what Pharaoh means you to understand when he says you are to make her eat it. You must also subtract a little from what His Majesty said about the hanging hand, that you are to turn the palm entirely to the back. Turn it just slightly away from the body. Half turn it. That is what is meant. And that will make you praise and blame enough. This, simply to make things clear. Her son was silent a space. Have you understood? He asked then.
I have, answered Aouta.
Then you will have understood, said Amenhotep, looking down at the lyre-shaped instrument in his lap, that the Great Mother, of course, said somewhat less than she meant, in seeking to lessen the effect of my words. You can carry the hand with the fruit rather far towards the mouth. As for the other hand, it is, of course, only a half-turn if you turn her palm away from her body towards the back, for nobody carries the palm turned entirely outwards. And you would be offending against truth if you made it like that. Thus you can see how wisely the mother has qualified my words. He looked up from the instrument with a mischievous smile showing the teeth, too small, too white, too translucent, between his full lips. He looked over at Joseph, who smiled back at him. The queen and the craftsman smiled too. And you, good Beck, he went on, go, as I have commissioned you, to Jebu, into the elephant land, and fetch some of the red granite that is produced there, a goodly amount of the very finest quality, the kind with a glittering of quartz, and shot through with black, you know, which my heart loves. Lo, Pharaoh will adorn the house of his father at Karnak, that it may excel Amon's house, if not in size, then in the preciousness of the stones, and the name Brilliance of the Great Aton be more and more usual for his district, until perhaps Wayset itself, the whole city may take on one day the name City of the Brilliance of Aton in the popular mouth. You know my thoughts, and I confide in your love of them. Go then, my good man, travel at once. Pharaoh will sit here in his cushions, and you will travel far away upstream and bear the burdens it costs to get the red stone out and down and ship it to Thebes. So is it, and thus so be it. When will you set out?
Early tomorrow, answered Beck, when I have taken care of home and wife, and love to our sweet lord, the beauteous child of Aton, will make as light my travel and travail as though I sat in the softest cushions.
Good, good. And go now, my men. Pack up and go each to his task. Pharaoh has weighty business. Only outwardly does he rest in his cushions. Inwardly he is in a high state of tension, zealous and full of cares. Your cares are indeed great, but small in comparison with his. Farewell.
He waited until the craftsmen had done their reverence and withdrawn, but meanwhile he looked at Joseph.
Come nearer, my friend, he said, as the bee-studded curtain closed behind them. Pray come close to me, dear Kabiru from the Retenu. Fear not, nor startle in your step. Come quite close to me. This is the mother of God, Ti, who lives a million years, and I am Pharaoh. But think no more of that, lest it make you fearful. Pharaoh is God and man, but sets as much store by the second as the first. Yes, he rejoices, sometimes his rejoicing amounts to defiance and scorn, that he is a man like all men, seen from one side. He rejoices to snap his fingers at those sour faces who would have him bear himself uniformly as God.
And he actually did snap his slender fingers in the air.
But I see you are not afraid, he went on, and startled not in your steps, but paced them with calm courage towards me. That is good to see, for in many the heart turns over when they stand before Pharaoh. Their spirit forsakes them, their knees give way, and they cannot distinguish life from death. You are not giddy?
Joseph, smiling, shook his head.
There can be three reasons for that, said the boy king. Either because your descent is noble, or because you see the human being in Pharaoh, as it pleases him when it comes about within the frame of his divinity, or it may be you feel that a reflection of the divine rests upon you, for you are wonderfully lovely and charming, pretty as a picture. My Majesty noted it directly you entered, although it did not surprise me, as I have been told you are the son of a lovely woman. For after all, it indicates that he loves you who creates beauty of form through himself alone, who lends the eyes love and power of vision through and for his beauty. One may call beautiful people the darlings of the light.
He looked at Joseph with satisfaction, his head on one side.
Is he not wonderfully pretty and well-favored, like a god of light, little mamma?
He asked T, who sat leaning her cheek against three fingers of her little dark hand that blazed with gems.
You have summoned him because of the wisdom and power of interpretation he is supposed to have, she answered, looking into space. They belong together, broke in Amenhotep quickly and eagerly. Pharaoh has considered much and perceived much on this point. He has discussed it with visiting ambassadors often from afar and foreign lands, magi, priests, and initiates who brought him from east and west news of the thoughts of men. For where all must he not hearken, and what all not observe, to test, to choose, and make useful the usable, that he may perfect the teaching and establish the image of truth according to the will of his Father above? Beauty, little mamma, and you, dear Amu, has to do with wisdom through the medium of light. For light is the medium and the means, whence relationship streams out on three sides, to beauty, to love, and to knowledge of truth. These are one in him, and light is their three in oneness.
Strangers bore to me the teaching of the beginning God, born of flames, a beautiful God of light and love, and his name was Firstborn Brilliance. That is a glorious, a useful contribution, for therein is displayed the unity of love and light. But light is beauty as well as truth and knowledge, and if you would learn the medium of truth, then know that it is love. Well, now, they say of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it, he asked Joseph. His face was suffused with the color of embarrassment at his own extravagant and fanatical words. It is not I who does this, O my lord, answered Joseph. It is not I who can do it. It is God alone, and he does it sometimes through me. Everything has its time, dreams and the interpretation of them. When I was a lad, I dreamed, and my brothers were angry and chid me. Now, when I am a man, has come the time of interpretation. My dreams interpret themselves to me, and certainly it is God who gives it to me to interpret the dreams of others. So you are a prophetic youth, a so-called inspired lamb, inquired Amenhotep. You seem to belong in that category. Will you fall down dead with your last words after you have announced the future to the king, and die in a spasm, that he may give you solemn burial and have your prophecies inscribed to be handed down to posterity? Not easily, said Joseph, is the question of the great house to be answered, not with yes and not with no, at best with both. It amazes your servant and goes to his heart that you are pleased to see in him a lamb, an inspired lamb, for I am used to this name since a child. My father, the friend of God, used to call me the Lamb, because my lovely mother, the star maid for whom he served at Sinear, across the river flowing the wrong way, and who bore me in the sign of the Virgin, was named Rachel, which means Mother Sheep. But this does not justify me, great Lord, in accepting your idea unconditionally, or in saying, I am. For I am, and am not, just because I am I. I mean that the general and the typical vary when they fulfill themselves in the particular, so that the known becomes unknown, and you cannot recognize it. Do not expect me to fall down dead with my last word just because that is the established pattern. This your servant whom you summon from the grave does not expect it, for it belongs only to the typical, and not to me, the variation from the typical. Nor shall I foam at the mouth, like the typical prophetic youth, if God shall give it to me to prophesy to Pharaoh. When I was a lad, I probably did twitch, and gave my father great concern by rolling my eyes like those who run naked, babbling oracles. My father's son has put that away from him since he came to years. He holds now with divine reason, even when he interprets. Interpretation is spasm enough. One need not slaver as well. Plain and clear shall be the interpretation, and no aula saukaulala. He had not looked toward the mother as he spoke, but out of one corner of his eye he saw that she nodded assent from her high seat. Her brisk, low, almost masculine voice, issuing from that fragile form, was heard to say, The stranger speaks what is worth hearing and heartening to Pharaoh. On that, Joseph could only continue, for the king was silent for the moment and hung his head with the sulky look of a chidden child. Joseph, thus encouraged by tea, went on. In my unworthy opinion, a composed manner in interpreting is due to the fact that it is an I and a single individual through whom the typical and the traditional are being fulfilled, and thereby, in my feeling, the seal of divine reason is vouchsafed to them. For the pattern and the traditional come from the depths which lie beneath and are what binds us, whereas the I is from God and is of the Spirit, which is free. But what constitutes civilized life is that the binding and traditional depth shall fulfill itself in the freedom of God which belongs to the I. There is no human civilization without the one and without the other. Amenhotep nodded to his mother with lifted brows. He began to applaud, holding one hand straight up and striking the palm with two fingers of the other. "Do you hear, my little mama?" said he. "This is a youth of great insight whom my majesty has sent for to come hither. Remember, pray, that by my own resolve I called him to come. Pharaoh, too, is very gifted and advanced for his years, but it is doubtful whether he could have made up and expressed these things about the binding pattern of the depths and the dignity which comes from above. So you are not bound to the binding pattern of the foaming lamb," he asked, "and you will not bruise the heart of Pharaoh with the traditional announcements of horrible misery to come, the invasion by foreign peoples, and how that which is undermost shall be turned uppermost?" He shuddered. "We all know about that," he said, his lips going a little white. "But my majesty must spare himself a little. He cannot well bear the wild and savage. He is in need of tenderness and love. The land has gone down to destruction. It lives in uproar. Bedouins rove over it. Poor and rich change places. All law is annulled. The son slays the father, and by his brother is slain. Wild beasts of the desert drink at the springs. One laughs the laugh of death. Ray has turned away his face. No one knows when midday is, for one knows not the shadow on the dial. Beggars consume the sacrifices. The king is taken and snatched away. One only consolation abides, that by the might of him who shall deliver, all shall be better once more." Pharaoh then need not hear this song again. May he hope that the modification of the traditional by the particular will exclude such horrors?
Joseph smiled. It was now that he made the famous reply, both courteous and shrewd, "God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace."